It's game day, and this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. The winter break is over, the warm weather training is done, and now it's time for one of the best days in the Scottish football calendar. Yes, it's Scottish Cup fourth round day with a host of top fixtures, including holders Celtic at home to Airdrie. Rangers' trip to Cowdenbeath didn't beat the weather last night, but no such problems this afternoon. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me in the studio is Alex Ray, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
Ah, the romance of the cup. Romance is normally about hearts and flowers, but today it's about nuts and bolts for some. At the moment, with 4 minutes to go, Auchinlech going nuts, and they are about to bolt from the Scottish Cup because they're a goal down. And these cup shocks could have serious ramifications for some, do you know what I mean? Oren Kearney, Gary Caldwell. Well, there's also reality as well as romance. And what chance do Airdrie have tonight at Celtic Park under the disco lights? It'll be murder on the dance floor for them, or else. And there'll be no romance there, even though there are diamonds involved.
Mark Wilson, we've been looking forward to this game for weeks. Auchinlech against Ayr, 87 minutes on the clock, and it's Auchinlech Talbot 1, Ayr 0.
Yeah, and you've got to say that they have deserved it. The amount of chances that they've created, and you know, they've looked fairly comfortable. I think Ayr's been disappointing, but Auchinlech also having the goal chopped off in the first half showed their intent early in the game. I think they've been absolutely terrific. And like Hugh says, it's what the cup's all about. You know, giant killings. And you just wonder, you know, if they hold on and get through, if this will be the only one. Because you look down that fixture list and you see a couple of banana skins for top teams in there. So, terrific day. And it started off in the right way, where what looks to be, with 3 minutes to go, a giant killing already.
Alex Ray, it's always a special day on the schedule, this one. Yep. The fourth round of the Scottish Cup. You get, you know, we've got a wide array of fixtures today, various teams at various levels, perhaps some shocks, perhaps some easy victories, who knows. But there's always something special about this day.
Yeah, absolutely. This would go down as a massive giant killing result, Gordon. I have to say, it got me off my seat with a header from McCracken. It was a lovely ball into the box, and he just directed it back across goal. But they're firefighting at the moment to keep it out. Ayr have thrown everything at it, but it's a great way to start the cup today.
I mean, you put this into perspective, this is an Ayr United side who are 3 points off the top of the Championship and have a game in hand. Theoretically, they are equal with Ross County. They are a side who have pretensions towards going into the top flight of Scottish football, and they are now 1.5 minutes away from going out of the Scottish Cup to a junior team. It is an amazing result.
Third in the table, Gordon. Auchinlech are in a respective juniors league.
Yeah, I think they've played 7 games less than the team that's top, though. That's the type of thing that the juniors often throws up. All right, let's start going around the grounds then. So many good fixtures to look forward to this afternoon. Let's start at Fir Park. Alison Conroy is looking ahead to Motherwell against Ross County.
Good afternoon, Gordon. Yeah, Motherwell boss Stephen Robinson says he's very much treating this like a Premiership tie this afternoon. Ross County top of the Championship. But Robinson knows their strengths and knows that they've kept a lot of their players that played in the Premiership as well. For Motherwell, Ross McCormack goes straight into the starting 11 for this one this afternoon after signing a couple of weeks ago. So for Motherwell, it will be Mark Gillespie in goal, a back three of Tom Aldridge, Charles Dunn and Peter Hartley. In the midfield, Richard Tate, David Turnbull, Carl McHugh, Boley Arabayu and Elliot Freer, with Ross McCormack in behind Danny Johnson. On the bench, Ferguson, Campbell, Main, Grimshaw, Salmon, Rodriguez, Gorin and Hasty. For Ross County, it is 4 changes from the side that lost 4-0 to Queen of the South in the Championship last weekend. Scott Fox in goal, a back four, Sean Kelly, Keith Watson, Ross Draper and Kenny Vanderveg. In the midfield, Jamie Lindsay, Marcus Fraser, Lewis Spence and Michael Gardine. Up top, Brian Graham and Declan McManus. On the bench for County, Monroe, Mackay, Stewart, Wallace, Gravosti, Kelly and Gallagher. And your referee this afternoon at Fir Park is Stephen McLean.
I think we are playing a Premiership side. You know, I think Ross County have maintained a lot of their players. They've done very well. So, you know, credit to Roy McGregor up there and the coaching staff that they've been able to retain a Premiership team. That suggestion is mirrored by where they sit in the league as well. You know, they're top of the league. They're doing very well. So for this is a Premiership tie for me. You know, and I think it's a tough game for us. We've changed a few things. We've brought a few players in, which I to believe that it gives us different options on how we can play, and I find it quite exciting. You know, I'm going into the game, you know, with real high hopes. I think, yes, we know Ross County are going to be a tough task, but it's about us, how we start the game, how we play, how we take the game to Ross County.
I mean, it would still be a shock of some proportion, Hugh Keevans, but I'm not sure that ninth in the Premiership versus first in the Championship, there's clearly not a huge gap there, and that's why Ross County will fancy their chances.
You could argue that Ross County are probably, in terms of budget, a bigger club than Motherwell. So I don't think it would be a seismic shock if Ross County were to win that match. If, with 2.5 minutes to go at Auchinleck, Ayr United go out, then I would say that's one for the Richter scale. But not Ross County winning at Fir Park.
In terms of Ross County though, you look at their past few weeks' performances, you know, getting
especially
absolutely
away, yes,
thumped against Queens last week and against Morton as well. You would fancy Motherwell. I think with Ross McCormick coming in, that's the boost they'll need to take them through this tie.
Alex Ray, that's what this weekend was always going to be about as well. The Scottish Cup takes care of itself, but we're all desperate to see these new signings in action.
Yep.
One of the biggest signings of the window was Ross McCormick coming back to Motherwell, and he goes straight in for a second debut this afternoon.
It doesn't surprise me, Gordon. I felt as if it would be an opportunity for the managers to throw him in due to the Cup. You know, if it was a league game, I think some of the guys may well have sat out a little bit, depending where they were fitness wise. Some of them haven't been up to speed. I played with Ross as a young boy, plenty of confidence, went down to England, and he's managed to secure himself an unbelievable contract at Villa, and he's found himself back home effectively. So he'll be looking forward to the challenges ahead, try and resurrect his career.
We are approaching full time down there. Auchinleck one up on Ayr. We've got about a minute and a half to go.
Ayr United now have the last chance.
About experience here, yeah. And that's a lack of experience there from the Auchinleck defender, just nudging him 25 yards out. No need to do it, and it's a last chance for Ayr.
You are now standing outside the last chance saloon. Last orders have been called. This is your one and only chance. If they blow this, it's all over for Ayr United. It's a free kick in a wonderful position.
Do you think he's shooting?
He's got to. He's got
I don't
to.
Think so. I think he's dinked the back post here. Can he get his foot around?
We're going to stay with it, because this could be
shooting,
what a finish this would be. Steps up, left footed, tries to whip it over the wall. It goes over the bar as well.
Seconds left. It should be all over. It should be Auchinleck's.
Gordon Dalziel's in Ayrshire as well. He's looking ahead to Kilmarnock against Forfar. Gordon.
Yes, I am, Gordon. And early team news suggests that Stevie Clark's got one eye on Wednesday night against Rangers, because he's left a few players out today. Stephen O'Donnell's on the bench, Scott Boyd's on the bench, obviously Greg Stewart's moved on to Aberdeen, which is a big blow for them. But the big news is, and the interesting part of coming down here this afternoon, is Jordan Jones. What sort of reception will he get from the Killie, the home support, today? It's been a mixed bag, as we've heard on the programme over the last week. Some fans on saying, look, we'd have to get behind them. Steve Clark's made that decision to play him, and he starts today. And other fans are saying, no, he should never wear another Kilmarnock strip. Forfar come here in good spirits. It's a free hit for them. I've watched them against Dumbarton. They're a very well-organised side. They score goals. But I think it'll be too big a ask for them. And I think it's a case of just coming here, Scottish Cup, and enjoying it, and trying to keep in the game as long as they possibly can, Gordon. I've got early team news for you. Kilmarnock, they start with a 4-2-3-1. Jamie McDonald comes in goals for the first time since November against Aberdeen. Ian Wilson, Gary Dicker, Stuart Finlay, Callum Waters at the back. Alan Power, Aaron Tishbola will be the sitting midfield players. With Rory McKenzie, Greg Kilty, Jordan Jones, and that guy up front, Chris Boyd. Backman, O'Donnell, Taylor Boyd, Thomas Brophy, and Burt on the bench. For the visitors, they go with the same formation. Mark McCallum in goals, Ross Meakin, White, Travis and Eckersley at the back, Riley and McIntosh sitting holding, and with Bain, Baird and Coop with Hilson up front. You've got to get back to 1927, the last time these two met in the Scottish Cup, and Kilmarnock won that, so they don't really know each other. I'm looking forward to an interesting game.
What a start it's been to this Scottish Cup weekend. Auchinleck Talbot have beaten Ayr United and go through in this famous old competition. Remember, Ayr United flying high in the Championship. They've got designs on promotion to the top flight. Auchinleck, the junior side, Hugh Keevans, have done it. They've won by a goal to nil, and they go through to the next round.
My congratulations to Tommy Sloan, the Auchinleck manager, who's been there for many years and has worked wonders with that particular side. It is a remarkable result. It is a 7 on the Richter scale. This is an Ayr United team who would have designs on playing against Celtic and Rangers next season as part of the Scottish Premiership, and they have been humbled, humiliated by an Ayrshire junior team. It is the romance of the cup written in neon lights. However, I do think it's an embarrassment for a club like Ayr United in such a lofty position in the Championship with designs on the Premiership. It is an embarrassment.
Roger Hannah, that's what this competition is all about. I don't know, we don't need to dive in, I don't think, and say where this one ranks, but it's going to be clearly one of the famous Scottish Cup results.
Yeah, and it's great for Tommy Sloan. I go back to, I can remember the days Tommy Sloan was centre forward for Ayr United under Ali McLeod in the mid 80s. He got let go, he got released. It was a real body blow for him. I know he's been thinking about this in the build up to this game, and it's taking him a while, but I think this will be a wee bit of personal revenge for Tommy Sloan against Ayr United. It's a bad result for Ayr. Their focus, Ian McCall's focus, as Hugh says, is getting promotion. They have a huge game now on Friday night at home to Dundee United at Somerset Park. I think they've not won in 6 now. Friday night could be huge for Ayr United, but this is a real setback, a real hit to their confidence. And it shows, you know, the difference between having Lauren Shanklin in the team, and when he's injured, as he has been for the last 3 games, Lauren Shanklin out of the team, and they're a far, far weaker unit without him.
Fraser Wishart, the romance of the cup, that just about covers it.
It does, yeah, and it kind of makes you think of the kind of pyramid system and the juniors. Should they be in that pyramid system? Because the Lowland League, I don't think there's many strong teams at that kind of level, and a lot of the big junior teams from the East have actually joined the East of Scotland League to try and get up into the SPFL. And then, like Auckland Tab, watching the game today, their setup and their supporters and the passion their fans have, they're as big as a League One team, and maybe we're going to have to start to think about, do we get these teams up as high as we possibly can? Because they're good teams and they pay good money and they can compete against the teams in League 1 and League 2 financially, if not pay more. But terrific result for the juniors. I love the junior football. I started there with Paul many, many moons ago, and I still keep an eye on all the results there. And it's brilliant. It's local football, local teams, and people get behind their local teams. Brilliant. Well done.
Plenty more where that came from throughout the course of the afternoon. Auchinleck Talbot are the first team through to the next round of the Scottish Cup. They have pulled off a giant killing in respective terms. They've knocked out Ayr United and they go through to the next round. Let's keep going around the grounds though, because we've got a lot to cover off. Fraser Wishart, the game you're at, Partick Thistle against Stranraer. Just wonder if that's one of the old banana skins we should be looking at.
Absolutely, you know, and I think Hugh was mentioning earlier about Gary Caldwell and the pressure that he's under. And who'd have thought that a home cup tie against Stranraer would have such importance to Partick Thistle and to Gary Caldwell as an individual, as a manager, because the supporters are getting on the back of the board and getting the back of the manager. But it's been such a poor season so far. Alan Archibald lost his job. Gary Caldwell came in to take over when they were having a poor season, and it hasn't had that lift yet. They're 7 points adrift of 8th in the league in safety, and the game today, just huge significance, really. Defeat today, unthinkable. We've been really crank up the pressure on both the board and Gary Caldwell. It was an awkward game for Partick Thistle, I said earlier. So now a young team, full of energy. They've got good loan signings, PJ Crossan, a young lad from Celtic, Conor McManus, who they've signed, who used to be at Celtic as well, a good player. Young Ennis Cameron, I'm looking forward to seeing him. Hear good things of him from Kilmarnock as well, 18-year-old striker, very highly rated. And they'll cause problems to Partick Thistle, get experience in key areas. Jamie Hamill, who we all know from Kilmarnock and Hearts days at the back. Adam Cummins has been around, at Motherwell and teams down south as well. So they'll keep it tight early on, and they'll try and hit Thistle on the break and get the supporters on the back of the Thistle players. So important that Partick start well, getting top early. Win today could really kickstart their season and give the team confidence to start a decent league run, but defeat today would do the exact opposite. So it's really finely balanced in such a vital 90 minutes for Partick Thistle. Thistle's line up with Connor Hazard in goals, Christy Elliott, Stephen Saunders, Sean McGinty and James Penrice at the back, Aidan Fitzpatrick, Craig Slater, Stuart Bannigan, Joe Cardle in midfield, with Blair Spittle just off the main striker, Ali Roy. The substitutes for Partick Thistle are Jamie Sneddon, Chris Doolan, Gary Harkins, Andrew McCarthy, Miles Storey, Callum Wilson, and Sulemani Koulibaly makes an appearance, having signed a couple of months ago and is now ready, and he could make a big difference for the Partick Thistle team. For Stranraer, they've got Max Curry in goals, Jamie Hamill, David Brownlee, Adam Cummins and David Smith at the back, Mark Lamont, Kyle Turner, Conor McManus and Conor O'Keefe, just signed recently from St Mirren in midfield, with the two young strikers, PJ Crossan and Innes Cameron. There's only five substitutes for Stranraer: Lyle Avsey, Chris McGowan, Andy McDonald, Grant Anderson and Cameron Elliott. And the referee today at Firhill is Alan Newlands.
Now, the only All-Premiership tie today comes at McDermott Park. St Johnstone against against Hamilton Accies, and Roger Hanna is there.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear Gordon Dale talking about Kilmarnock resting players ahead of the return to the Premiership on Wednesday night. Both these teams have got big midweek games. Hamilton at home to Aberdeen, St Johnstone at home to Livingston, but the two managers aren't thinking about that. Full strength teams this afternoon. St Johnstone signed Michael Halloran for a third time yesterday. He's back from Australia, but he's not ready to get back into the squad yet under Tommy Wright. So it's almost the team that finished before the winter break. Xander Clark in goal, it's the usual back four. Richard Foster, Jason Kelly, skipper Joe Shaughnessy, who's interesting, Aberdeen, and then Scott Tanzer, who signed a new contract through the week. A midfield four, David Willerspoon, Liam Craig, Ross Callaghan and Matthew Kennedy, and up top it's Chris Kane with Tony Watt on the bench, Alston, Anderson, Swanson, McMillan, McCann, Gordon and Hurst. As for Hamilton, Tony Andrew back for a second spell at the club. He scored the winning goal for Hamilton here the last time the Accies won at McDermott Park 4 years ago, and what was Alec Neil's last game in charge of the Accies before he headed off to Norwich City. Martin Cannigan's never won here yet, but he includes Andrew in the starting lineup, and also Stephen Davis signed for the rest of the season from Rochdale through the week. In the blow, no Gary Woods, he's still missing. Ryan Fulton, Scotland under 21 international keeper, is in. The fourth goalkeeper Accies have used in the last 4 weeks, so it's Fulton in goal. It's a back three of Ziggy Gordon, Matt Kilgannon and Lenny Sowa. Across the middle, Aaron McGowan, Alec Gogic, Dougie Emery and Scott McMahon, and then Andrew and Mikael Miller just behind Davis. On the bench, it's Bingham, Tewo, Penny, Want, Martin, Boyd and Marsden. And the referee this afternoon should know how to get there, John Beaton. He was here on Thursday night for the meeting between the referees, the SFA and 10 of the 12 SPFL Premiership managers, looking into VAR, full-time referees and a sort of better relationship between the whistlers and the gaffers.
Yeah, a quiet afternoon for him, I'm sure. Dave Galloway is at Pittodrie, Aberdeen against Stenhouse Muir.
Hi, thanks Gordon. This is just the second occasion these two clubs have met at Pittodrie, the first time being newly formed Aberdeen FC's first ever match. That was way back in August 1903, a 1-1 draw that day. Of course, on paper, the Dons should win very handsomely today against a side sitting bottom of League One, but there's certainly no complacency whatsoever in the home camp with pre-match prep, exactly the same as for any other game. So the odds are stacked heavily against Stenny, but that was also the case, remember, back in 1995, when Aberdeen, fresh from beating Rangers the previous weekend, were dumped out of the Scottish Cup at Ochil View. Let's run through the teams then. Aberdeen make five changes. In come the returning Greg Stewart and Max Lowe, plus now again Gary Mackay, Stephen and Lewis Ferguson. Out of the starting 11 for the Dons drop Dom Ball, Stevie May, Scott Wright, Conor McLennan and Bruce Anderson. So it's Joe Lewis in goals. Across the back, Shea Logan, Andy Considine, Scott McKenna and Max Lowe. Midfield, Niall McGinn, Graham Shinney, Lewis Ferguson and Gary Mackay-Stephen, with Greg Stewart playing just off Sam Cosgrove up front. The substitutes for Aberdeen today: Cherney, Ball, Gleeson, Wilson, Wright, McLennan and May. As for Stenny, well, they make three changes today. In come Graham Smith, Andrew Munro and Conor McBrearty. Dropping out of the opening 11, Lewis McMinn, Alan Reid and Seb Ross. So it's Graham Smith in goals. Looks like a back four of Conor Duffy, Andrew Munro, Morgan Neal and Rory Donaldson. Five across the middle for Stenny. Sean Dixon, Russell Dingwall, Mark Ferry, the skipper, Conor McBrearty and Alan Cook, with Mark McGuigan leading the attack. The substitutes: McMinn, Vaughan, Reid, Halloran, Garcia Tena and Patterson. And your match referee at Pittodrie, Barry Cook.
A couple of technical difficulties at St Mirren against Alloa. Alex Ray is jumping around the studio because his beloved Wolves have just stolen a late winner. If you could just keep quiet over there, that would be great. A couple of technical difficulties, St Mirren against Alloa. Hopefully we'll get to that very soon indeed, and we'll get the rest of the team news for you then.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Auchinleck Talbot are the first team through to the fifth round. They've knocked out Ayr United. It was a huge game. We've been building up to it for a couple of weeks now, and the junior side have knocked out the promotion chasing championship side. What a result down there so far, Hugh Keevans. A good start to the day. We hope the drama continues.
And before social media explodes, yes, I did say on last night's programme that there was romance and then there was reality. And the reality was that romance would come a second, a distant second, and Ayr United would beat Auchinleck. So the only person who disagreed with me was Alec Ray's pal, who just tweeted him to say that he had backed Auchinleck at 12-1
yes,
and is now considerably better off. But I go back, congratulations Tommy Sloan, congratulations, the junior game in this country, but that's an embarrassment and a humiliation for Ayr United. It's an unacceptably bad result for a team who are second top of the championship with serious ambitions to join the top flight of Scottish football next season.
A good start to the day, Roger Hannah, in terms of drama. Not a good start if you're Ian McCall. But of course, the Scottish Cup weekend got off to a bit of a false start last night, didn't it?
Yeah, and it's a pity. I agree with what you said at the top of the show, Gordon. This is one of my favourite weekends of the season, Scottish Cup. Fourth round, when the big boys come in, there's always a banana skin. Somebody always goes. It looks as if Ayr United are the fall guys this season. It's a bad result, as we said, losing to a junior team. I know the Championship and promotion to the Premiership is the priority, but that is a bad, humiliating result for Ian McCall and his players this afternoon. I'm not too sure where any of the other shocks would be. A lot of big teams, you know, Dave Galloway up at Pittodrie, Aberdeen at home to Steny. You know, they were away in 95 when they lost to Tommy Steele, etc. One of their biggest cup upsets. Hibs at home as well, Dundee at home, Stranraer, you know, having to go to Partick Thistle. It might, you know, Fraser's game might have been more interesting had it been down at Stair Park. Same with Daz's game, had it been at Station Park. Allison's beloved Forfar may have had more of a chance. So, not sure where the other big shocks are going to be, but fair play to Auchinleck, they've created one already.
Yeah, Fraser Wishart, it was a bit of a shame last night. On one hand, you know, people take these things and say, well, you know, the pitch wasn't playable, it wasn't playable. But always in this country, we get very uptight about things as well. And we heard a lot of, you know, it's a joke, typical Scotland winter break, and we can't get the first game on, and accusations of who caused the postponement or who, you know, played a part in it and all the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, I think Donald Finlay had his tongue in his cheek when he was talking about Jimmy Bell, the kit man, being the guy who got the game off. We're all experts from 200 miles away online, but if the pitch is unplayable, you can't take a risk. And Rangers, well, they wanted that game on. You know, they'd have wanted that. They've not played for 3 weeks. Jermaine Defoe is back, and he's not played for a long time as well. They want him to get a game before Wednesday night's game against Kilmarnock, which is a huge game for them as well. So it's not as if Rangers wouldn't want to play it. Of course they were. They would have been desperate to get on. But if it's unplayable, it's unplayable, and there's nothing much we can do. And clubs that couldn't be, early in the week, they were asking for volunteers to put down mats and come and help out. And that's what clubs like that are like. They rely on volunteers and supporters and the board of directors to help them out because they don't have full-time groundsmen. So it is what it is. Rangers will not want to be going there on January 30th, but they're going to have to, and they'd have liked a game there. And like Roger, I'm kind of looking at the potential shocks today, and the only one I can think of, having seen Queen of the South last week demolish Ross County. I mean, demolish 4-0 didn't flatter them at all. In fact, 6 or 7 would have been a fair result. Stephen Dobie in brilliant form. I saw Dundee lose at home to Ayr United earlier on this season in the League Cup. I think Queen of the South might just surprise us all and beat Dundee up at Dens.
Very interesting. It should be a good afternoon either way. Gordon DL, we cut you off almost because we were excited what was happening between Auchinleck and Ayr. One of the big stories of the week and then today is Jordan Jones. He starts today. Let's remind ourselves first of what Stevie Clark had to say on that situation.
Yeah, I haven't got an issue with it. It's part and parcel of the modern game. The game changed when the Bosman came in. Players have got more power now. Better power. I was a player myself. I wish sometimes I'd had that power when I was a player. So, but if the fans boo Jordan, then they're booing me as well. Because if I select Jordan to play for Kilmarnock, then they're criticising my selection.
I mean, Gordon, during the week we had one caller who got, you know, very heated and said, this is the first mistake Stevie Clark's made. We'll boo Jordan Jones if we want. It won't be aimed at Stevie Clark. But of course we had another caller on at the same time saying, he's a Kilmarnock player. We all get behind him. We wish him well. And so on. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out today and going forward.
Well, the fact is that the manager's got every confidence in Jones getting out there and performing to the highest level. He's a big player for them, Gordon. He's been terrific for them. At the end of the day, if you're a supporter, you pay your money, you're entitled to say whether you want to boo or not. Do I think it's right? I think it's ridiculous that you nowadays, in the modern day game, when players all over the world sign pre-contracts, he's staying here. It's Kilmarnock pays wages. He will do his very, very best. And everybody's now got one eye, not just on today. It'll be Wednesday night, the big build-up to playing against Rangers. If the boy goes out and has a poor game, well, I'll tell you what, we can open the lines up till, you know, next November, because that's all we'll hear about. He wasn't trying. I just think it's absolute nonsense. I think you're going against somebody that's a professional footballer. He's been terrific for this club. He's moving on to a bigger club, and he's only bettering himself, and he's quite right to do that. I just hope that the Kilmarnock fans that come along here appreciate that the job he's done for the club and give him all the backing they can.
Fraser Wishart, I'm reliably informed that his performances in training this week have been amongst the best he's ever produced since being at Kilmarnock. Now we look to see if that transfers itself onto the playing surface.
Yeah, it will. I mean, as a football player, you don't think about these things when you're on the field. He won't be thinking about his move to Rangers, but it'll give him a huge lift. Financially, he will get 4 or 5 times the wages he's on, if not more than he's on just now. So financially, it's brilliant for him. He's a Rangers supporter as a lad. You know, it's a brilliant move for the lad, and he'll get an absolute buzz from it all. And football fans, they don't understand. I look at it differently. This is a man just changing jobs. That's all it is. He's changing jobs, and every supporter who boos him will have done exactly the same and would do exactly the same if they were to get 5 times the salary and a job up the road as well. So that's all he's doing. I thought Stevie Clark was very good during the week. He was just trying to take the pressure away from Jordan Jones a wee bit, so that was quite clever management, and that's the way of the world, and it should be like that. When I played, when Gordon Dale played, and Mark, maybe so much Alec Gray as well, you weren't allowed to move. Even at the end of your contract, you weren't allowed to move without a transfer fee. So it's changed for the better, and that's the way the world goes. So hopefully the lad will play really well for Kilmarnock between now and the end of the season, and that will silence the supporters.
Mark Wilson's not happy. You've just added about 15 years onto him there, I think.
I didn't realise that halfway through.
I'm not in that group, Fraser.
Halfway through, Mark, I realised I'm putting you in with Gordon Dale and me.
Jordan Jones has come out and said, look, I got overexcited. On the day the deal was done, I got overexcited, and my message on social media reflected that excitement. Now, this is a social media phenomenon. I remember, as I've told the story before, phoning Alec Ray on the morning it was confirmed he was going to join Rangers, and I knew how much Rangers meant to Alec Ray, and it was delightful to have that conversation. I was at Mark Wilson's press conference at Celtic Park when he came from Dundee United to sign for Celtic, somebody who had supported Celtic as a boy joining Celtic. And it was delightful to see that as well. So, Jordan Jones, I'm happy for him that he's gone to Rangers. He got overexcited. He put a Rangers slogan on social media. This is a social media phenomenon. However, we exist in a coarse environment in Scotland, and he'll get booed by the Kilmarnock fans.
Well, maybe some of them, but...
Yeah, he'll get booed by some of the Kilmarnock fans, and on Wednesday night he'll get cheered to the rafters by the Rangers supporters because they know the value of a good wind-up.
Roger Hanna, the other big story from the last couple of days was this summit in Perth between referees and 10 of the 12 top-flight managers. The outcome, if you like, is an appetite to look towards VAR. How far off that is, who knows? What did you make of what's happened in the last couple of days?
Well, we're a long way off it, Gordon, because the people who were here and then lounged down the stairs from where I'm sitting just now at McDermott Park, the referees and the managers, and they reached a consensus that VAR would be a good thing, full-time referees would be a good thing. I tend to agree with both points. What we're not sure about is who's going to fund all of this, because... You know, Tommy Wraith of St Johnson was there. If Steve Brown, his chairman, says to him, right, Tommy, I've got a pile of money here. I can either give it to the fund for VAR, or I could give it to you to sign Michael O'Halloran. Where do you think Tommy's going to ask for the money to go? Likewise, Steve Robinson, if Alan Burrows at Motherwell says to him, right, here's the deal, I can tuck this money away for VAR, or I can give it to you to pay for Ross McCormack. What do you want me to do? He's going to go for Ross McCormack, isn't he? And this is the problem. Everything in Scottish football, everything in football, comes down to pounds, shillings and pence. There's not a lot of money in the Scottish game, and funding all of this is going to be the big problem.
Roger, there's one way we can take this away from finance. I fully understand your point about the game and money being indivisible, whether it's money to put VAR in place, whether it's money to pay for full-time referees. What price do we put on respect in this country? Mutual respect. Because that meeting at McDermott Park should have been about better harmony between match officials and managers, and both sides have much to learn, because you can go on about managers and their indiscreet comments about we were up against 12 men, but there is no doubt that some referees strut about the park getting decisions wrong and behaving in an overly efficient and arrogant manner. So we can all learn about respect, and if mutual respect was to play a greater part in the game, then we might not need to have full-time referees and go to the expense.
Yeah, Fraser, is there an easier fix here? I mean, I'm not talking about getting every decision right. That's clearly never going to happen, even if you introduce VAR. But if VAR is going to, even if it is going to come in, and it's going to cost a lot, it's going to be a year, a couple of years down the line. What about the short term? What can we do practically to just clean up the mess that we've got at the moment?
Well, I do think we have to examine. There's been an awful lot of bad decisions by referees and straightforward decisions. Referees make mistakes. Players make mistakes. I watched both today, and that happens. But there's been a lot of what you would say is fairly straightforward decisions that you're baffled by. So I think there's a we have to have an aim to get decisions better and get better referees and make them better. I don't know if making them full-time would do that, because just now many of them get well-paid jobs and they get well-paid as referees as well. Can we afford to pay them exactly the same? And then they would be earning more than the vast majority of football players. Is that the best use of money? Is the best use of money VAR as well? I said before about VAR where I'm at Firhill today. You know, they use it for this game. There might be two cameras here. In the Premiership, for example, there may be four cameras at least at games, but you might have 12 or 15 at the game that's on television. Is that fair that you get better decisions just because you're on the telly? Can you imagine the length of an Old Firm game? The referee bit the side of the pitch from VAR for every single incident. It would be about half an hour stoppage time, I think, as well. So I don't think it... I'm still not even convinced it's the best use of our finances. We at the BFA, we've got a management committee, which is our board, made up of footballers from top league to the bottom league, and we discussed the referees and the VAR, etc. And the biggest thing, and I think you struck it the nail on the head there, the biggest thing for players is not about decisions, because they're on the part and they see the referees, the angles they're at, they know the speed of the game. And I don't think players have a real big gripe over mistakes that refs make. It's more to do with game management and attitude and the way they talk to them. Even the way they issue yellow cards, you know. It's not easy to get a yellow card or a red card in a football match as a player, and it's humiliating getting sent off. But do it with a bit of respect, you know, rather than flashing cards at them as well. So it's a wee bit of work to be done, and hopefully I think managers just tone the language down a wee bit, and clubs as well making statements as well. Let's tone the language down. There's no harm in making comment about it, but let's not incite the whole situation and use language that's inappropriate.
I think we do now have Mark Guidi. He's at the Simple Digital Arena, looking ahead to St Mirren and Alloa. Mark.
Yes, I am. Yes, St Mirren go with Vaclav Hadley in goals, and it's Paul McGinn, Steve McGinn, Ryan Flynn, Simeon Jackson, Brad Lyons, Jack Baird, Mihai Popescu, Lee Hodgson, Greg Tansey and Ethan Erehorn on the bench for Oireann Kearney's team. Jordan Holmes, Cody Cook, Kyle McAllister, Cammy McPherson and Anton Ferdinand for Alloa Athletic. Jim Goodwin's return to Paisley. Neil Parry in goals. It's Scott Taggart, Liam Dick, Sam Roscoe, Andy Graham, Stephen Hetherington, Kevin Crawley, John Robertson, Alan Troughton, Dario Zanata and Connor Shields on the bench for the Wasps. Jack Aitchison, Adam Brown, Rhys Peggy, Zach Karadashke, Ahmed Alalu and Chris Henry. Today's match referee at the Simple Digital Arena, Don Robertson.
Well, let's hear from both managers then, starting with Oireann Kearney.
They're probably the form team in the Championship at this point in time, and I've had the pleasure of chatting with Jim on the phone a couple of times, and with certain dealings that we've had to do between the clubs, and I must say in the conversations that I've had, they've gone probably beyond football and everything else, and he's one of those guys that you just get a real good feel for, and you can see why he's so well thought of at the club. So I'm sure it'll be a proud week and moment for him, you know, to lay the side out on Saturday, but it's so important for us, you know, that we get the right result and move through the next round.
Now, Jim Goodwin joined us on last night's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Here's what he had to say, looking ahead to the game.
With me going back there, first time in 2.5 years, I'll be back playing a competitive game. It'll be strange, no doubt about it, trying to put a team on the park to beat St Mirren. It'll be a strange one, but you know yourself, once that whistle gets blown, it's down to business, isn't it? Listen, we're huge underdogs going into the game, there's no doubt about that. Obviously, you know, St Mirren being a Premier League team and all that, but I think our form going into the game is good. We're unbeaten in six, and obviously St Mirren's form isn't so good, you know. So, you know, we're confident, quietly confident, not getting carried away. But I do have great belief in the players, and I think if we get the game plan right on the day, we've got as good a chance as any.
Huge games in store up and down the country in the Scottish Cup. We're going back around the grounds next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray are here in the studio, the top team all around the grounds as well. We've got some fantastic Scottish Cup fixtures coming up, and it's what a start it's been to the Scottish Cup weekend, because Auchinleck Talbot beat Ayr United by a goal to nil to send them through, the first team through into the hat for the next round, and in dramatic circumstances.
Well, you know, when Jim Goodwin was in here last night, I remember saying to him, you know, you played 170 times for St Mirren, and there you are taking Alloa to St Mirren tomorrow with the prospect of a cup shock. There is a prospect. So there you have the same situation at Auchinleck, where Tommy Sloan, a former Ayr United player, has just created a sensation that will not be topped today. There isn't a result, unless Airdrie puts Celtic out, which I think has to come into the impossible category, but the Auchinleck result will not be topped by anything today.
Mark Guiri, looking ahead to that one, St Mirren against Alloa, do you sense a shock in the air?
Yeah, I do. When Alison Robbie had a discussion with me a couple of weeks ago about fixtures, and I said, listen, any chance of doing St Mirren Alloa? Because I do have a feeling, a real feeling for Alloa. Maybe they'll have to go back to their own stadium, but I don't think Alloa lose today. I watched them a couple of weeks ago against Dunfermline. They fought back to 2-2 after being two goals down, and I've watched St Mirren four or five times under Oran Kearney, and I think there is a naivety and a fragility about the team, and the fact that they've lost Adam Hamill, they haven't played for 3 weeks as well, I think gives Alloa, even though they're part-time, a slight edge going into this game.
I mean, the character that Alloa have shown, Mark, during that run, they're unbeaten in six, they've won three times during that run, but when you delve a bit deeper, you mentioned one of them, they've come back from 2-0 down three times to get draws, and in fact I think two of the games that they've won, they've also come from behind, so they clearly have that never say die attitude.
They do, and the thing that amazed me watching them against Dunfermline at East End Park a couple of weeks ago was that the part time team, but they scored in the last minute. You know, with the last 10 minutes of the game, they looked the fresher side, even though it was a full time club they were up against. So, you know, even if St Mirren take the lead, you could never rule out Alloa. But looking down the St Mirren team as well, they've only got five in the bench. There's, you know, just a bit of trepidation, I think, about Paisley this afternoon.
Fraser Wishart, I'm wondering about the incentive for Partick Thistle, because it's not quite a no-win situation. If you win, you progress in the cup and everyone's delighted, but they're expected to beat Stranraer, and that brings its own pressure, because we know the league form has been really poor. Fans have been on here complaining about pretty much everything, and if they were to somehow lose that one this afternoon, well, I don't think the locals would be happy at all. Oh, I think he's lost.
Oh, sorry.
We've got you, Fraser. On you go.
So I switched my mic off for some reason. But I think you're right in terms of they're expected to win, but I'm not sure that Thistle supporters are coming here with 100% confidence. And anybody looking from the outside is probably looking at this game as a possible cup upset because of the poor form. And just looking at the team selections, Gary Caldwell chopped and changed a wee bit. He's put three of his more experienced players, Chris Doolan, Gary Harkins, Miles Storey, all starters when I saw him a couple of weeks ago. They're all on the bench. He's gone with Ali Roy, the young lad who signed from Derry City, I think it was at Hearts as well. Pacey, quick, you know, he's busy. And young Edith Fitzpatrick, who I think is attracting attention when it comes to newspapers from like Rangers and Norwich. So he's gone with a bit of youth and a bit more kind of pace about the team, because scoring the goals has been the problem. I saw him at Tannadice, I think 2 weeks ago. Played really well for an hour. Really good football. Bannigan, Slater, clever players in the midfield. But they didn't get the goals they deserved, and they were only one up. And then when they lost the goal, things just collapsed, and they could have lost the game. And that's where you've not got confidence. It's so finely balanced that a goal can give you a huge lift. But if they lose a goal early on today, the fans will be on their back, and it's a real test for these players, especially the younger players on the field of play. I do think Thistle will win it, maybe by a couple of goals, but it's not going to be easy, and it might not be pretty for the Thistle fans today.
Dave Galloway, looking ahead to Aberdeen against Stenhouse Muir. Clearly, the Dons are big favourites. But I suppose, Dave, this is the first step on what Derek McInnes will hope is another long cup run. What is it, three cup finals in the last season and a bit? A couple of seasons, certainly. Haven't managed to win any of them. And of course, I'm sure they'll want to at least get back there and try and go one better this season.
Of course, that is exactly what Derek McInnes was saying when I spoke to him at the pre-match media conference this week. And remember, as well, you know, Aberdeen haven't won the Scottish Cup since 1990. You know, so they'll be desperate to put things right. Have to say, two very, very good pieces of business by Derek McInnes in that transfer window. And he said he wanted a left-back and a forward, and he's brought back Max Lowe, of course, and Greg Stewart, both of real quality.
Yeah, good business on the face of it. It'll be interesting to see how those pan out. Roger Hannah, St Johnstone, I'm sure memories of winning this thing still linger in the air in Perth. And they will look at Motherwell perhaps getting to two cup finals last season. They've won the thing not so long ago. There'll be no reason why they won't fancy themselves to go on a bit of a run this season.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Hugh often says on the show, Tommy Wright has made himself St Johnstone's greatest ever manager with that day at Celtic Park back in 2014 when they beat Dundee United to win St Johnstone's only major trophy. Tommy's still here. He signed a new deal. I think he's going to keep him here for at least another 3 years. And he's trying to build again. Michael O'Halloran coming back into the squad there, though he's not in the squad today, come back to the club yesterday for a third spell. He's looking to bring more players in before the transfer window closes. He's eyeing the top six again, and he would love a cup run because he knows what it did for the town, what it did for the club when they won that trophy against United those years ago.
Let's hear a bit from Martin Canning then ahead of that one.
The record there hasn't been great of late. And we know for us we've got to go and do better than the league, that's for sure. We lost the game there in a poor manner, so we know we need to compete. That's one thing St Johnstone do, and do really, really well, and then they've got the quality as well. So if we don't match that first and foremost, we're not going to win the game, and we've got to match that, and then we've got to hope that we've got the quality to go and put the ball in the back of the net and an opportunity to try and put together a cup run, which would be good. But obviously all the main focus will be going concentrating, focusing on the game and try to get through the next round.
Gordon Dale, you can't really be critical at all of Stevie Clark. He's done an incredible job. Probably the only thing he's not quite managed to do, and he's not been there that long, is make a bit of a dent in the cups. Already out of the League Cup this season, didn't make it to any of the semis. And the only reason you set such high, you know, criteria for them is because of how well they've been doing in the league. They will fancy themselves to get to the latter stages of these cups.
Well, they'll certainly fancy themselves to get through today's tie, Gordon. Like Mark Guidi, I did say to Alison, send me to Rugby Park because I want to see Forfar, who are a very well organised side. I've watched them, and they've got goals in them. So Kilmarnock, I think, under Stevie Clark, just looking at his lineup, Jamie McDonald's a touchdown coming in goals today, first game since November against Aberdeen. He's left obviously the O'Donnells and the Brothies and people like that, you know, Scott Boyd on the bench. I think he's got one eye obviously in the league on Wednesday night, and I think he's trusted these players are good enough to go out and beat the part-time team Forfar. And you've obviously got the goal scoring machine up front, Chris Boyd. If you put balls in the box, then he'll score for Forfar. It's a free hit for them. It's great. It's a Scottish Cup game. It's against a Premier League team, a very good Premier League team. They're away from home. They can come down here, relax, go and play. Keep yourself in the game. I think that's what Jim Muir in the dressing room will be saying to his players. Keep yourself in the game as long as you possibly can. Is that a cup shot on the way? I don't think so. I think Kilmarnock will run out comfortable winners here.
Alison Conroy's at Fir Park. Alison, just over about 11 years ago, Ross McCormick scored the winner for Motherwell against Hearts in the Cup. They got through, they got dumped out off Dundee, and that was the last time we saw him in this competition. He's back, and I would imagine there's a sense of expectation from the Motherwell fans as to what he can do.
Yeah, they're expecting big things from Ross McCormack. I think you'll be hard pushed to find a Motherwell fan who's not happy that he's back at Fir Park, and of course straight back into the starting 11 this afternoon. It is a tricky tie for Motherwell, though, as we've touched on. Ross County, they're not top of the Championship for no reason. They've kept a lot of their players that played in the Premiership as well. At home, Stephen Robinson's expecting a lot from his Motherwell team. They obviously got a good win just before the winter break. They've been away in Tenerife. They've come back. Robinson and Elliot Free, who I spoke to yesterday, both say the whole team's refreshed, they're ready to go, and they want another cup run. They've enjoyed cup runs and they know what it means to the club, so they're targeting a win this afternoon. Looking about, a very small travelling support have come down from Dingwall this afternoon, hoping for an upset here. Absolutely freezing, as I'm sure it is across the country, but I'm expecting a nice, close and tight game this afternoon.
Those are our featured matches this afternoon. Of course, we have a number of other fixtures. We will be going to Celtic Park a bit later on in the show. Roger Hannah, when you assess the rest of the fixture card, I think in particular because the so-called big teams are at home, or a couple of them, you know, that changes things. Aberdeen at home to Stenhouse Muir, that would be very different if it was on the road. Similar with Hibs, you know, you would expect those two to get through, certainly.
Yeah, and there's only a couple of all-prem games as well. This one this afternoon in Perth, and then Hearts against Livingston tomorrow. So you would expect the vast majority of Premiership teams to be in the draw after the Hearts-Livy game tomorrow afternoon. And if we're down by that stage to the last 16 and 10 of them are Premiership teams, we should have some mouth-watering clashes in the fifth round. And would any of the Premiership teams fancy going to Beechwood Park, Auchin Lake in the last 16?
I suppose I'm in danger of contradicting myself, Fraser, because I'm talking about the difference between playing, you know, playing away and playing at home. I just wonder though if East Kilbride will have had a look at that Auchin Lake result and said, you know what, that just shows we can do something against Inverness this afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, I go in with hope, and I think it's such a big occasion for smaller clubs when you're going to a bigger team, and you always fancy your chances, but it's probably just how they start the game. I think it's the same in the all cup ties. If you start it well as a smaller team and you get confidence, you get on top, then you can go forward. But if you lose an early goal, it can go the other way, and I wouldn't see a shock there from East Kilbride against Inverness. But I think there's potentially one or two. I think Mark's right about Alloa. They've got a real chance. I said earlier, I think Queen of the South, and Queen of the South will beat Dundee. I think they're a really good team. Really impressed by them last week, and played terrific football as well. And Dundee, you know, struggling in the league. So there's always one or two shocks, but I don't think that East Kilbride will be able to do that. But just when you mentioned there, you know, you talk about Auckland Lake Talbot, you forget it's the last 16. Fantastic, brilliant result for the people of Auckland Lake who get behind their team and for junior football, and they would love to have a big draw down at their ground as well, and the TV cameras there. That would be fantastic.
Remember, Fraser Wishart said there will be no shock at Inverness. If I'm going down, you're all going down with me.
It's hardly a big prediction, Hugh, is it? It's hardly a shock.
Fraser, I tried it last night. I said there's romance in reality, and the reality is that Ayr United will beat Auchin Lake. If I'm going down, Fraser, I'm taking the head of the union with me.
Partick Thistle against Stranraer is the game Fraser is watching. We've got Aberdeen, Stenhouse Muir, St Johnstone, Hamilton, St Mirren, Alloa, Kilmarnock, Forfar, Motherwell, Ross County and Celtic Airdrie to come a bit later on. Those are our featured matches. That only tells half the story though. Some really brilliant fixtures across the William Hill Scottish Cup fourth round. Auchin Lake Talbot junior side, Auchin Lake Talbot, are already through. Who'll join them? We'll find out next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
The floor is yours, so send us a tweet or give us a call. The Celtic game kicks off in around 15 minutes' time. We'll keep you up to speed on that. Let me bring you the full time results from the Scottish Cup today. Auchin Lake 1, Ayr 0. Aberdeen 1, Stenhouse Muir 1. Dundee 1, Queen of the South 1. East Fife 2, Morton 1. Hibs 4, Elgin 0. Inverness 4, East Kilbride 0. Kilmarnock 2, Forfar 0. Montrose 0. Dundee United 4, Motherwell 1, Ross County 2, Partick Thistle 4, Stranraer 1, Raith Rovers 3, Dunfermline 0, St Johnstone 2, Hamilton 0, and St Mirren 3, Alloa 2. In Scottish League 2, it finished Edinburgh 1, Annan 2, Peterhead 2, Berwick 0, and Stirling Albion 1, Queen's Park 1. Finally, the English Premier League, Wolves 4, Leicester 3, Bournemouth 2, West Ham 0, Liverpool 4, Crystal Palace 3, Man United 2, Brighton 1, Newcastle 3, Cardiff 0, Southampton 2, Everton 1, and Watford 0, Burnley 0. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray and Gordon DL are here to take your calls. 0141 951 1025. Get in touch. What did you make of the scores this afternoon? Rangers fans frustrated after last night, and Celtic fans, you'll be looking ahead to the game tonight. What are you expecting? Andrew McLean can recap the teams for us. Andrew?
Yes, for Celtic. Well, they make four changes from their last outing, which was, of course, that 1-0 loss at Ibrox. Out go Lustig, Incham, Gordon and Johnson. In come Bain, Ralston, Burke and Izaguirre. So it's a 4-3-3 for them today. Scott Bain starts in goal. The back four, Anthony Ralston, Dedrick Boyata, Philip Benkovic and Emilio Izaguirre. The midfield three, Callum McGregor, Scott Brown and Ryan Christie, with James Forrest and Scott Sinclair either side of the debutant, Oliver Burke. There is another debutant, or could be a debutant today, on the bench if he comes on. Timothy Weah is there alongside Craig Gordon, Neil Beaton, Mikael Lustig, Christopher Eyer, Ewan Henderson and Mikey Johnson. As for Airdrie, it was a 1-1 draw against Raith Rovers last time out for them, and Ian Murray has decided to go with the exact same starting 11, a 3-5-2 for them. David Hutton in goal, back three of Chris O'Neill, Sean Crichton and Kieran McDonald. The midfield five, Scott Stewart, Grant Gallagher, Kieran Miller, Josh Campbell and Josh Edwards. The front two, Kyle Wilkie and Leighton McIntosh. The substitutes for them, Ben McKenzie, Darryl Duffy, Dale Carrick, Declan Glass, Scott Robertson, Jonathan Page and Dean Cairns. And the referee for this one is Andrew Dallas.
Still work to be done tonight, Hugh Keevans. We've got a big game coming up at Celtic Park. We've got a game tomorrow between Hearts and Livingston. What have you made of this Scottish Cup weekend so far?
It has rocked and it has rolled. And it started in Auchin Lake with the juniors beating the seniors 1-0 with the Craig McCracken goal. Congratulations to the Auchinleck Talbot manager Tommy Sloan, former Ayr United player. And now we have the chance to finish with Celtic giving a debut to Oliver Burke, the costliest Scottish player of all time, and the Celtic fans perhaps tantalised by the prospect of Timothy Weah coming off the subs bench. In between, we've had the comeback of the day without question, Oran Kearney's St Mirren, to be 2 down and down to 10 men before half time, and to win 3-2, Oran Kearney, job well done.
St Mirren fans, Partick Thistle fans, this has been like a therapy helpline this season. It's been all about the doom and the gloom and the bad results. You've both done the business and in some style today, so come on, you can celebrate surely for one afternoon. 0141 951 1025. Let's hear from you. Let's remind ourselves of Brendan Rodgers' thoughts pre-match.
We've got a little run of games now at home. You know, in my last 2.5 years here, we've played really, really well at home and some great performances. So we want to start off the defence of the trophy again, and these types of games can always be difficult, especially on the back of a break. But we've done our work and analysed Airdrie, and obviously we'll look forward to the game on Saturday evening and looking to get into the next round.
Jason Coogans is on Twitter. He says, I'm glad to see Anthony Ralston getting a game. I hope he gets a run and he'll show what he can do. What do you make of the team overall, Mark Wilson?
Well, it's a pretty strong team. I think we all expected that, you know, with the players having their break. I think Celtic wanted to come into this game. They obviously should win, but I think they want to put on a performance, and guys like Oliver Burke will want to get off to a flyer. So pretty strong. But and his point about Ralston, I've watched him a few times this season, and just before Christmas time I thought he's been excellent. Thought he was unlucky perhaps not to start the Old Firm game. I know he came on at half time, but I think he looks stronger now than he did at the tail end of last season when he was on loan. So I wouldn't be surprised if he hung on to the position. I know Lustig's a favourite, but he certainly looks a strong contender at this moment in time.
Gordon DL, can you see any shocks or anything close to a shock at Celtic Park?
No, after watching Airdrie against Raith Rovers last week, I know it's a different game and the Airdrie boys will be really up for it. They'll get a little extra yard because you get that going to the big places and going against the big teams. But I just think that Celtic, with that team, will have too much power, too much pace. And if they get an early goal, I think it's going to be a long night for Airdrie and everyone concerned.
0141 951 1025. David's a Celtic fan in Hillington. What's on your mind tonight, David?
Well, it was mentioned there by Brendan Rodgers about the home games, the next three or four home games. I think I'm willing to give him a bit of chance with the signings. Nobody's overly impressed at the moment, but you can't expect miracles at times financially. But I think Celtic, if these guys are okay, and there's still a couple of injuries, we double down in the next two or three games, try and put a bit of daylight between us and the pack before even the European tie. I don't think we're going to run away with it the way we did the past couple of years, but I think we are going to win it reasonably comfortably in the end. I don't think it will be easy. Nobody's saying that before Hugh jumps down the throat. But I think if we double down, win the next 3, 4, 5 games maybe in the league, then I think that'll probably put us a bit of daylight between us and the rest.
I think the Celtic supporters, and you're one of them, David, have completely changed now in their mindset. At the start of the season, piece of cake.
Even a couple of weeks ago, there was a call as well here.
Now there's been the defeat at Rangers' hands has brought about a whole different mindset. I think it's all based on not just the Rangers defeat, but a very poor first half of the season. 18 points, the equivalent of 6 defeats, Celtic have dropped in the first half of the season. By Brendan Rodgers' admittedly very, very high standards, that's poor.
David.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. And I think it's actually poor for any decent Celtic team to be losing 18 points in the first part of any season. However, I did come on a few weeks ago and say, yeah, we have not been great, but I had confidence that we would motor on the second part of the season. I still have that confidence. The past two seasons, especially the first, they were the aberrations. That's not likely to happen again for a long time for anybody, whether it's Celtic or not. But we have been poor this season. We have had a bit of instability in the team and in and behind the scenes. I think we need just to get a grip of ourselves. If things are going to change in the summer, so be it. That's the way life is. Life goes on, Celtic will go on, but we need to get eight under our belt. If we get the treble, so be it.
David, what did you mean by that, David? Yeah. The changes, what did you mean?
Well, there's obviously something. I don't think Brendan Rodgers is going to leave in the summer, but I think the team is going to change drastically in the summer. Drastically, and I do mean that.
If Celtic don't win the league, Brendan Rodgers is off.
No. If we don't win the league, I accept that, but I think we will win the league.
David's right. You're right, David. The team is going to change. You know, you're chatting about the centre halves. A team that's had so much success. You look at Boyata getting out the door, Lustig potentially, who's been there part of the success. Scott Brown could be away. You know, guys like that. So
Benkovic
has to go back. So it's going to be a different team next year. In terms of the signings, you know, and David was saying fans are, you know, quite mixed about it. The one I was surprised at was Bio, when Brendan Rodgers comes out and says it might take a bit of time to see the best out of this guy. I mean, there's a title to be won. There's a definite title race. You would think bring guys in.
I know what you mean. Is that not also natural, given that he's not even here yet? You know, and he's not got a work permit yet, and it's a 4-year deal.
I mean, I was taking it from him when he says a bit of time. It sounded like months. It could be months rather than until he gets here in a few days.
If you examine it closely, as the disco lights go into full power at Celtic Park.
Andrew McLean, I just want to get the man on the ground. Is this your first experience of the disco lights, Andrew?
Yeah, I must say it is. I don't think it's as impressive when the stadium's not as full. I can imagine on a European night it's a lot more impressive, but there must be some electricity bill on the go here. But it is good to see at least the disco lights have made more appearances now at Celtic Park than Marvin Compere has, so it's quite impressive.
Well, Marvin did last a very good 83 minutes, which is okay for a million and a quarter a season. Now, to go back to what's happening up front at Celtic, Edouard is, for me, injury prone and is not consistent. Lee Griffiths, I don't think, will be seen this season. And Bio coming over here with Brendan Rodgers saying it might take him weeks to get up to speed. In terms of a championship that has to be won, I think that's a concern. And at the back, the loss of Kieran Tierney for an unspecified length of time, the kind of poor form that Mikael Lustig is in, I think there are concerns at the back as well. So if David is still on the line, how do you respond to that?
He's not, but is that not quite a dramatically negative view in Celtic striking options? Because Odson Edouard, as it stands, is going to be fit soon. Oliver Burke's playing up front tonight, and they've got Timothy Weah, who you just omitted from that list. So I'm wondering if you're perhaps putting an unfair slant on how grim it's looking.
How can any of us comment on Timothy Weah's ability to hit the ground when
you just plain ignored him as an option? There's one thing, I'm not saying he's a world beater, but you just pretended he didn't exist.
Well, have the Celtic callers who are coming on, none of them appear thrilled by the work that Celtic have done in this transfer window. As I say, Timothy Weah may be absolutely brilliant, but we're yet to find out. Everything has to be seen in the context of a championship that's hanging in the balance. And Timothy Weah is 18, and Bio is a young man who we're told will take weeks to get up to speed.
Andrew McLean, for one final time then, I think the teams are just coming out the tunnel, so if you just build up a little bit to kick off for us.
Yes, indeed, the team is making their way out the tunnel at the moment, and of course this is Celtic's first game back after the winter break, and they'll be looking to get back to winning ways in the new year with their last outing, of course, that 1-0 loss to Rangers at Ibrox. But of course Brendan Rodgers' record in these domestic cup games is absolutely unbelievable. He's won every single game in the Scottish and League Cup in his time here, and you'd think that something would have to go very wrong today if that was to change. Hugh calling it the impossible task for Ayrshireonians earlier on. As for them, they are in pretty decent form so far. 3 wins from the last 4. Their manager, of course, is former Hibs and Rangers midfielder Ian Murray as well. The last time we spoke to him on Super Scoreboard, he was coaching over in Norway, and surely this has to be one of the highlights of his young managerial career so far. As for team news, 4 changes for Celtic from that game at Ibrox. Out go Craig Gordon, Mikael Lustig, Olivier Cham and Mikey Johnston. In comes Scott Bain, Anthony Ralston, Emilio Izaguirre and the debutant Oliver Burke. A 4-3-3 for them today. Scott Bain in goal, a back 4 of Anthony Ralston, Dedrick Boyata, Filip Benkovic and Emilio Izaguirre. The midfield 3, Callum McGregor, Scott Brown and Ryan Christie. And it's James Forrest and Scott Sinclair either side of the man on loan from West Brom, Ollie Burke. The substitutes, Craig Gordon, Nir Bouton,
Mikael Lustig, Timothy Weah, who could also make his debut here today, Christopher Ayer, Ewan Henderson and Mikey Johnson. As for Airdrie, a 3-5-2 for Ian Murray's side today. David Hutton in goal, a back three of Chris O'Neill, Sean Crichton and Kieran McDonald. The midfield five, Scott Stewart, Grant Gallagher, Kieran Miller, Josh Campbell and Josh Edwards, with Kyle Wilkie supporting Leighton McIntosh up front. The substitutes, Ben McKenzie, Darrell Duffy, Dale Carrick, Declan Glass, Scott Robertson, Jonathan Page and Dean Cairns. Celtic, of course, have to win this if they want to keep their treble hopes alive. Kick-off just about to get underway as Celtic get into the huddle here at Celtic Park. It's Celtic against Airdrie Onions.
All right then, Hugh Keevans, you can kick us off with the predictions.
5-0 Celtic.
Okay, Doc. Mark Wilson.
4-0 Celtic.
Alex Ray.
I'll go 6-0 Celtic.
Gordon DL.
5.
Wow. Okay, no one's even given Airdrie.
Steady with the enthusiasm in there, Daz.
I can't believe you didn't support Airdrie, Daz, after all you've done for the club.
Hey, hold on a minute. You went 4.
That's me supporting them.
Aye, if you were a manager, I would double figures.
Right, so Gordon DL, Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray are here. The game is about to kick off. Of course, we'll keep you up to speed on everything that happens, but give us a call. I'm going to keep stressing it. Partick Thistle fans, St Mirren fans, it's been moaning all season, and rightly so, by the way. I'm not criticising you for that. Surely you can come on and share your delight this afternoon. What a comeback from St Mirren, and Partick Thistle doing the business quite easily as well. Any Rangers fans frustrated after last night and looking forward, you get in touch as well. Michael is on the line from Alloa. Hi, Michael.
Hey, then, guys.
Not bad, Michael.
I was just coming home from the Alloa St Mirren game. It was in the alley and 2-0 up, half time, 10 men. Well, it's looking quite easy. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, St Mirren's first goal was a long range shot that the keeper fumbled in front of him and the strikers came in and scored. And then I think after that, it's a case of part time versus full time. You know, our players just lost their legs, sat deep, and I think it was maybe inevitable what was going to happen.
Yeah, Hugh Keevans, that can happen. And it looked for a long, long time like it was going to be a brilliant day for Jim Goodwin and a brilliant day for Alloa, but it didn't materialise in the end.
Michael is seeing it from the dark perspective. He's an Alloa fan, disappointed, and trying to be objective and say part-time legs against full-time legs. The other side to the story is that it's a wonderful comeback from a side down to 10 men for two-thirds of the game, under severe pressure at 2-0 down. Here in the studio, we're speculating that if it gets any worse, there's real pressure on Oran Kearney's shoulders. So there are two sides to this story. One is the dark side, as Michael has portrayed, and the other is a real comeback. The comeback of the day.
Listen to Michael, we've obviously not seen it, but when the keeper spills it and then it's a rebound, you know, if it was a comfortable enough save that he may well have made, goals change games. It gets the fans and everybody the perspective change in the game. So I don't think Alloa will be too disappointed with the fact that they've lost the game. However, the big job for them staying in that division.
Surely they will be disappointed though. I mean, 2-0 up, playing against 10 men
and for about an hour, wasn't
Nick St Mirren's in this season. I mean, to lose at 3-2, I reckon, you know, they'll be absolutely gutted in that dressing room. You know, it's a great turnaround for St Mirren, but if you're like Michael, an Alloa fan, and you're saying you're 2-0 up on Easy Street, you end up losing 3-2, then it's a sickener going home tonight.
Gordon DL, I think I heard you grunting in the background.
Yeah, I totally agree with Mark Wilson for once in my life. You're 2-0 up, forget the part-time, full-time, it's the Scottish Cup. Plus the fact, Alloa have had a lot of games under their belt as well, so fitness-wise, match fitness, I watched Kilmarnock here today, the winter break, a couple of weeks off, really struggled against Forfar. Which a team that should really be winning comfortably. So I think that Jim Goodwin, especially going back to his old club, 2-0 up, 10 men, he in the back of his mind, he thinks we're in the next round of this cup. But all credit to St Mirren. Great fighting ability. We all wrote them off, but they got there in the end and got themselves into the next round.
Big chance for Celtic early on. Oliver Burke combining with Anthony Ralston into the 6-yard box. Well saved by the Airdrie goalkeeper. It goes out for a corner kick, which doesn't come to anything. Michael, final word to you.
I wasn't saying that was the only excuse for the far side field time. Like, I think it was Alex that said goals to his game. He just knew as soon as the keeper fumbled it, they're probably going to get back into it. And absolutely brilliant result for them.
I know they were down to 10 men, Michael, but when they get that one, does there a bit of nervousness set in when they get the first goal back?
Nervous for us, but I think for us it was a bit of a free shot. You know, it was a bit of a Jim Goodburn love fest that burned, you know, but it was a free shot for us, and fairly disappointed. But I think, again, late staying up in a good position to bump Falkirk and Partick Thistle, so bigger picture, hopefully. But I think Jim Goodburn as well will be off. He's done a great job.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about that. That doesn't change today. Thank you to Michael and Alloa. Still Celtic nil, Airdrie nil. Oliver Burke trying to run in behind again. But ball goes out for a goal kick this
time.
Just
saying to Alex there, looking at it on the TV, the pitch for having not much game time on it recently, it's looking very patchy. I mean, this new pitch was made, you know, public with amount of money.
You might be right. All I'm saying is I remember thinking that once in a European game, and I then went to the second half. This might sound ridiculous. I'm risking making myself sound
daft.
No. It could be the lights are extremely shiny on the pitch, right? I know that sounds nuts, but Andrew McLean will be able to clear that up at half time.
It might like be the big pitch. Patches of areas without any grass on it, which is surprising.
Even as those words came out of my mouth, I didn't fully believe them, but I just remember thinking that and then went to the second half after the show one night and thinking, oh, it's actually not the way it looked on telly. Anyway, we'll get back to that. We're going to take a bit of a breather. 0141 951 1025. Get your calls in on any of today's big talking points.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com. The games are over. The talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Celtic nil, Airdrie nil, 9 minutes on the clock. Hugh Evans, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray, Gordon Diel are here to take your calls. So get in touch on 0141 951 1025. I mean, it's been all Celtic, but they've not really bothered the Airdrie goalkeeper too much after that Ralston shot. And to be fair, on closer inspection, Hugh, the pitch actually does look a bit patchy in places, doesn't it?
I don't know whether that affected Dedrick Boyata, who had a shot that was saved by a steward halfway up the stand.
Great handling, mind you, who managed to take it in nicely.
Okay, 01419511025. Let's hear from Gary Caldwell. Thistle fans, you've had a tough old time of it. You must be celebrating today. Come on, let's hear from you.
Never easy, these games where you're playing lower league opposition. I thought they were excellent, to be fair. They worked hard. In second half, they got the goal, a good goal, and caused us a few problems for 10 minutes. But I thought our intensity for minute one was good. And we spoke about that all week, about setting a pace that was going to pay in the end for them, and I think it showed. I think the last 20 minutes our energy levels were better, and that told in the end.
Aidan and Joe did well for you, coming into the side offering a bit of creativity.
Yeah, it was something we looked at. We felt we could get the wingers in the game and get 1v1s, and they could come off the line and play in between lines, allow the fullbacks to go and really attack with a lot of numbers, and I thought they were both excellent. Joe, in a different way, coming in off the line and kind of his movement and then his creativity and getting a cross in or getting a shot in, he always gets something in the box, which is good, and the players know it's coming in, so that gives them the licence to get in the box. And Fitzy's an unbelievable talent for 17-year-old to play with that confidence and that energy as well, having not been in the team. He's got a massive future.
Hugh Keevans, the league is the priority. It remains the priority. But that was a good win for Partick Thistle. They did the job they had to, and you never know, it might just kick them on in the league.
Yeah, he has to hope that. And also to bring in the younger men, that's an encouraging thing for Gary Caldwell. They only had to get in the next round, Gordon. That was the important thing. Don't create any more problems than you already have. You're bottom of the league. Don't give anybody any other grounds for consternation. Just do your job properly. And they did that.
I think he's going to stick with those young ones. I said at the start of the show, he's tried the old ones, the tested ones who've done the job, you know, in the past. But it wasn't working for Gary Caldwell. He had to do something else. So he's brought in these young guys. They scored 4 goals at home. I don't think he'll change it next week.
Gordon Diel, are you in darkness yet?
Sorry, Gordon, are I was talking to John Baird there.
Are you in darkness yet?
No, unfortunately. I don't like these Premier League clubs. They keep the lights on at 6 o'clock.
That's good. You I like the lower right leagues.
They look after their electricity bills in the right way.
You can stay where you are. You've been watching Kilmarnock, but you're here to take calls on any topics. 0141 951 1025. 12 minutes gone at Celtic Park. Mark, it's goalless. How would you sum it up so far?
Well, like you'd expect, it's all Celtic in possession. Apart from that Ralston chance, never really created anything. Airdrie, you know, got that five across the back, making it difficult. See if you're Ian Murray. I was just saying to Alex here, if you're Ian Murray and you're 12 and a half minutes in, you're delighted, because you can turn up against a Celtic team and find yourself two or three down at this stage. So he'll be happy, but I think it's just a matter of time.
At long ball over the top, was never getting anywhere near Scott Sinclair. He may well have went offside anyway, Hugh Evans.
Yeah, I think it's fairly insipid from Celtic, to be honest. There's no threat to the goal. Anthony Ralston, I think, made the wrong decision when he went for goal. I think if he cut it across the face of goal, there might have been a taker, and the chance would have gone in. Other than that, possession,
the word insipid there. I always remember Gordon Strachan after a game we played came in and said, went off his head and said, "Your performance absolutely insipid." And you could see everybody looking about. What does that mean? I think somebody had to Google it and went,
"Oh, see what I mean?" Football players, daft.
Yeah, absolutely. I know what it meant, Hugh.
Yeah, honestly.
But you're from Denison.
Celtic 0, Airdrie 0, with 13.5 minutes on the clock in that one.
But it is insipid. I mean, come up with another word for me, Mark. I mean, there's just,
I don't know if it's that bad, is it? It's 13 minutes gone.
I said to Mark during that break there that I felt as if Celtic could turn it on at any moment. You know, they have players who can just hurt teams, and it's just a matter of time, that's for sure.
Scott Bean has touched it, Hugh, but only with his feet.
Yeah, it's
no,
a pass back.
No ball to hand action. Scott Bean,
I think he could play without gloves today, but they're only there to keep his hands warm.
Well, you're going to need it out there. Are you chilly down there at Rugby Park, Gordon Dale?
No, I'm absolutely roasting, Gordon. In fact, I've just taken one of my five jumpers and jackets off.
Speculative effort from Ryan Christie. He took it in the chest. He went for it first time in the left-footed volley. You can see what he's trying. He's trying just to find the space over the head of the goalkeeper. It would have been absolutely spectacular.
Yeah.
But just drifts over in the end.
He's brilliant at that, Ryan Christie. Runs like that. We've seen it in the against Aberdeen, remember, in the final. You know, just breaking the lines, you know, going beyond the centre halves, and they've got the quality of a player to find them.
That's one of the things that's been evident in this early, 15 minutes or so, as you had Sinclair running in from Boyata's ball there. They're trying to get players to go in behind, so may well have been working on that over in Dubai.
Let's hear from Martin Canning. Quite a lot to say. He put out the cup today. Now, of course, there was an incident in the stands involving his dad, with the Hamilton Accies fans as well. So let's just hear what Martin Canning had to say.
I told us it's a difficult place to come anyway to try and win games, and if you give the team and you make two mistakes in it, and we concede two cheap goals in the manner we did, and you allow St Johnson to be able to sit behind the ball playing the counter attack, it becomes even more difficult then to try and break them down. They're very well organised, very disciplined. And like I say, 0-0, it's difficult enough to score. When they've got a 2-0 lead to defend, it becomes a real big task. And I thought second half, we tried, we probed, we looked for the opportunities, but we just weren't able to break down a well-organised and good team.
There seems to be unrest amongst some of the Accies fans before half-time. We've been told your father was abused by some of the fans and had to leave the ground. What's your take on that? Have you spoken to him?
I haven't, no, I didn't even know that, so that's news to me, so I didn't know that.
And obviously, the fans are upset at the way the team's doing, but you guys are the same. It's a case of just trying to stick, you would probably suggest, stick together and help each other kind of thing.
Yeah, well, time. Everybody's working really difficult, and it frustrates me, because I think it's a small club. We work really hard. We've compete for 5 years now in the Premier League. We're going to hopefully go and do it for a sixth season in a row. It's the most successful period in Hamilton Accies history, in terms of short-term history, since the war. We've never been in the Premier League for that amount of time. So in terms of success, we've got a youth team that's playing in the Champions League. We've got a great infrastructure. We've got a supportive board that are behind the team, behind the local community. So in terms of everything we're doing and what we're doing at the minute, there should be positivity about it. And yeah, we all want to win games. There's no doubt we want to win more games than we are winning. I'm pretty sure St Mirren and Dundee want to win more games as well. It's difficult at the bottom end of the league. We're competing on our budget that we try and compete in this league with. And it's never going to be easy. It's never going to be plain sailing. We lost 16 players in the summer. Sorry, we've brought in 16 players this season. We've lost
Michael Devlin, Ali Crawford, Greg Docherty, Lewis Ferguson, David Templeton, Yanis Skonderas in the last 12 months. Any team losing 5, 6, 7 good players is going to have to work hard to try and replace them, and on a small budget, and try to compete in the Premier League. So what we do is work extremely hard for where we are, for what we get. And yeah, I understand frustration. Any fan wants to win games, but if my dad's been abused or that's happened, I don't accept that. I don't accept personal. If it gets personal, I can take it on the sideline. It's part of my job, but that's not acceptable for me in any way, shape or form.
Well, the way that Martin responded to that question, they're rhyming off players' names, stats, stating the case that what's happening at Hamilton just now is far from being a disaster. It is, in fact, the club's most successful spell in their history in terms of staying in the top division. He's had this on his mind for some time, and he's getting it off his chest there. And I go back to the subject of his father. Someone at some point will tell me, I have no doubt, that Martin Canning's father was giving as good as he was getting in terms of abuse from supporters. But why are you turning on the Hamilton Accies manager's father in the first place? You can boo his son from now until Easter Sunday for all you care. But his father and any other member of the family and any player's family should be off limits. It's antisocial behaviour, it's ugly and it's tawdry.
Stephen Donaghy says, was at the Accies game, enough is enough. I'm sick of Martin Canning and my team. More hard-earned cash wasted on that shambles. Canning out, he says. Let's get the thoughts of Andy, who's a Partick fan in Drumchapel. Hi, Andy.
How you doing, guys? I phoned up last week after the Falkirk game. I never managed to make it today. I was working, unfortunately. But I think it's a great result for us today. 4-1 against Dunraw. That's the result I fully expect a team like ours to win. No disrespect to Dunraw. I think the fans will be a little bit happier today. I've been calling for guys like Fitzpatrick to be in that team for the start, and I don't know why Gary Caldwell hasn't had him in the team, because he's electric, you know, when you see him. My concern's probably going to be, can we take that into the next match in the league? You know, 4-1 against Stranraer in the Cup, you get a wee bit of the, you know, the Cup spirit, but we're still bottom of the league there, and, you know, we're no further forward in the league. So, for me, as much as I see some improvements, like I said last week, goes on players like Christy Elliott and players like Spittle perform a little bit better, I hope Caldwell does stick with that team next week, and I hope he does get a win, you know, and we can bounce on from there. But I'm a bit pessimistic, guys.
Gordon Dale, that's what it has to be, a turning point, doesn't it? It's good to go through in the Cup, but you need to try and build on it as well.
Yeah, you've got to remember it was Stranraer they beat 4-1, and they needed victory. Of course they did, but it all goes out the window, Gordon, next week if they go and lose in the league. The league's their bread and butter. Partick Thistle cannot afford to drop down in our league. Absolutely no chance. So it's up to the players to go out there and try and put some of that form that they played today into next week's league campaign, and try and get to the end of the season and try and get survival. They've got good enough players, Gordon. They've got a good enough squad for that league. They should be out of there. But it's all about holding your nerves and trying to get that result. And it'll be an important game next week. And if they lose that, I'll guarantee the Partick Thistle fans will be back on the phones not happy at all.
But the only thing you can say of a positive nature, Gordon, you remember the old advertising slogan, don't make a drama out of a crisis. Mm. So they have a crisis. They're bottom of the league. And as you say, going into the third tier of Scottish football is unthinkable for Partick Thistle. But don't give yourself any more problems by going out of the Cup to a team from a lower league at the same time. So they've done their job today.
Yeah, I think it was important, Hugh, and especially the 4 goals. The only thing that will disappoint them a little bit is they'd have loved to, if they were being greedy, come with a clean sheet as well. That gives the defence confidence. But 4 goals at home, they needed that. Because if he'd have lost today, I don't care what MD said about new signings coming in January, I think he'd have been out the door.
Mark Wilson, Oliver Burke twisting, getting to the byline, couldn't quite get the ball across. Anthony Ralston had a go at it as well. It's just taken on a similar theme. It's clearly all Celtic, but there's not a great deal to get excited about if you're Brendan Rodgers.
No, not really. I'm not really creating those openings that they have done against Premier League opposition this season. Not really in full flow just now. Airdrie, you know, doing their job, Ian Murray will be happy. You know, making it very difficult for Celtic to play through. But I'm sure the Celtic fans just want things done a wee bit quicker, you know, when going forward, because it's a wee bit slow, a wee bit sideways.
Do you think it's insipid?
Very insipid, you. Great word.
Eddie is in Coatbridge, wants to talk about VAR. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Not bad, Eddie. What's your take on this subject?
Is it Mark Wilson that's on and Gordon?
Yeah, Mark, Gordon, Alex and Hugh.
Right, I'm sorry, I don't know Alex. Forgive my apologies, Alex. I don't know you, son. But for Gordon that played with Manchester City, take my heart to you, son. You can all slag you all you want, but you've been there and done it.
That's right, mate.
That's my point on that. And my point to Mark, why did you leave Celtic?
Right. Listen,
and then my point to you about the video.
Uh huh.
You there, Hugh?
No,
you listening?
I left half an hour ago.
No, I come on here about 10 years ago. Right, and I love the show. You're my best punter on it. Absolutely superb. And I say to you, what they've got to do is sit with three referees in a room watching the monitors. And if the referee on the park isn't too sure, go to the monitors. And you say it'll never happen. And what's happening? Was I right or was I right?
So hold on, Eddie. You invented VAR.
Mm-hmm. I like
pretty
it.
Much.
It must be about 10 or 15 years ago I said it to Hugh. And Hugh's like, it'll never happen.
Hugh, it sounds to me as if Eddie pioneered the whole thing. And you doubted him.
Good luck with this one, Hugh.
Yeah, I know. It hasn't happened in terms of Scottish football. I'm yet to see if it will happen in terms of Scottish football. But, three men review things if something is referred to the SFA. But you don't have three men at the game. There's only the referee required to look at VAR.
There is a video assistant ref at the game. That's the way it would work, isn't it? Certainly the way we saw it at the World Cup and so on.
They say whether they want to review it. So there is someone looking at the monitors prior to the referee coming looking to see if it's warranted.
But if Eddie spoke to me about it 10 years ago, forgive me, Eddie, but we get one or two phone calls here and...
I can't believe it, Hugh.
I don't know why you're chitman.
I
don't know why you're chitman. Doesn't even know who you are. Anyway, Celtic 0, Airdrie 0. We'll give you an update and we'll hear from some more managers next.
Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com. After they play, you have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard's open line.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard. Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Alex Ray are here. 28 and a half minutes gone. Celtic 0, Airdrie 0. Not a lot to write home about, Hugh Keevans.
I go back. It's insipid. Celtic have all the possession, what, 85% of possession, something like that, and they are doing absolutely nothing with it. If I was in that crowd in the cold weather, I'd be at the pie stall and not bothering with the match.
Mark Wilson. I thought that was the ultimate. James Forrest just volleyed one towards goal as Hugh Keevans finished that sentence, but it goes straight into the goalkeeper's arms.
He does well, actually. Yeah, because it's a little half volley. Yeah, it's across from Izaguirre. He gets across the face of the fullback. It's under the right down the Hutton's throat. And
so let me get this right now. Mark Wilson went for 4-0. Gordon DL went for 6-0. I went for 5-0. How smart do we look?
After the last caller, Alex, who said he wasn't aware of you. Token Jester says, that Alex guy on the panel, is that not the same Alex that spent his childhood battering the ball off Whitevale Bowling Club fence on Craig Park Drive?
Yeah, I think I've heard of him. That now. Yeah, absolutely.
There we go.
Leave Eddie to his own devices.
I can't believe
in England and Scotland, but Eddie doesn't know.
I can't believe Eddie invented VAR. That's the biggest surprise for me. Yeah. Celtic are into the box again, but Cal McGregor turns back. We'll just stay with it for a second in case anything interesting happens. Anthony Ralston seen plenty of the ball. You would expect that, though, wouldn't you? That, you know, fullbacks pushing on a lot of width.
It's a repeat pattern here, though. Celtic seem to get Ralston on the ball round about the Airdrie penalty box, but they just can't seem to find that final pass. So,
well, he's bulldozed his way through Anthony Ralston. Well, I'm not sure why he didn't try and pick a pass. Scott Sinclair goes down, penalty. Is that Andrew Dallas, the man in the middle? Let's see. We don't need another controversy, do we, Hugh?
I have to say, it's as clear a penalty as we're going
to see. I don't know why the Airdrie players are getting so excited.
Let's wait and see it again before we get to...
The goalkeeper's in serious danger of getting himself into real bother. He needs to calm down, the Airdrie goalkeeper. Is Aguirre still on the ground? And they are complaining bitterly, the Airdrie players, but the goalkeeper has overstepped the mark, so you'll need to calm down or there'll be a fresh goalkeeper on.
Right, we're seeing it again. Anthony Ralston, I don't know why he doesn't just tap it into to Oliver Burke. Eventually, well, I'll tell you what, Aguirre, he certainly makes the most of it, Hugh. And we need to see it again to see if there was much contact.
It's a poor angle.
Yeah, it's not a great angle at all, is it?
The defender goes to ground. Can he really tell if there is any contact?
Yeah,
but he does.
That was hard to tell, wasn't it?
He does make the most of it afterwards. But Aguirre still arguing away, saying that there was contact. But that, it's hard to tell from that angle.
You can see the effect of that meeting on Thursday night between the referees and the players and management.
Airdrie weren't invited. That's what they'll say.
Ah, right.
I have to say though, if you know, it looked initially as if there was contact, Gordon, but we need to see the replay to be conclusive.
We only saw one replay, and it wasn't a great angle. You lot can argue that amongst yourselves on Monday night. Let's see. Scott Sinclair steps up to take the penalty kick, and it is saved by the Airdrie goalkeeper, low to his right. A decent save, it must be said. Not the best penalty you'll ever see, but it was a decent save. The Airdrie goalkeeper is delighted with himself.
What did I say earlier on the programme? Has penalty taking become a lost art? And there you are, Celtic.
It could have been Matt, but see if he manages to get his cell across the face here. It's absolutely outstanding defending, because I think it's Benkovic who's got a free header at the back post. So we'll have to see this again, but
Great header back across from Beata. Benkovic looks like he's going to put it in, and there's a wee nudge here, but Airdrie get away from away with it again. Going back to what you said, Hugh, about doing their homework.
Yeah.
I mean, Scott Sinclair, I think, puts his penalties there quite a lot, so the goalkeeper would have looked at that. I think it's a poor penalty from Scott Sinclair.
Sums up Celtic's first half so far.
To answer your question,
yes,
is the art of penalty taking. We have deciphered that it's 75%. Me and one of the guys on Twitter have told you that.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Must be true.
Let's hear from Derek McInnes. It can't go down as a big shock unless you're eliminated, I don't think. But they were held to a draw at home to Stenhouse Muir. That's a shock enough, and they're going to have to replay. Here's the Aberdeen boss.
Truth be told, we've got to be relieved, because, you know, when it's one each in a cup tie, you're expected to win. You know, you still, although with the bulk of possession and best of chances, you just felt that we weren't doing enough to win the game. Well, it was a disjointed performance. We brought moments of quality to the game, but it was too sporadic, and it should have been far more intensified, the pressure on Stenhouse Muir. I thought Stenhouse Muir, we're really disappointed with the level of our performance in terms of quality. I think you've got to praise the Stenhouse Muir team to a man. They stuck to their game plan. They got everything behind the ball first half, and although we had loads of possession, we never had too many chances. We got off to a decent start with a goal, and that should, hopefully, as I say, maybe knock their confidence and resilience a bit, but it didn't. It should help us to carry on with the level of performance. But for me, we looked like a team who, I thought we looked rusty. I thought we were decision making. We never looked sharp with our work. And you know, it's always my biggest concern coming off the back of the winter break that we are ready to go again. And with Northern Ireland, we've had a couple of games when we've come back in the cup. I think we've scored 4 goals in both games. I think it's Stranraer and St Mirren. And there's been moments in those games where we've been a bit patchy and lethargic. We've always come up with the moments, the quality, and we had opportunities to get second and third goal, which would have put the tie to bed and would have you know, killed Stenhouse Muir's resilience. But when the goals don't come, it gives them that belief that they might just get something, and they might just get the one chance, and they got their chance.
Scott Sinclair's had his penalty saved, and he's just missed one from...
a yard.
2 yards, 3 yards, maybe?
3 yards, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I have to say, it was an absolutely brilliant play by McGregor, because he just a threaded ball through to Ralston, who puts it across the face of the goal, 3 yards out, goal begging, and he's ballooned it over the bar. Scott Sinclair's having
massive
a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah, mess of the season. Do you think
so? What was the absolute howler we had again? There have been a couple, they'll come back to me. Someone will tweet in anyway.
Well, you'll have to go some to beat that.
It's not a competition you really want to win anyway. No. 35 minutes on the clock, goalless, because Scott Sinclair has had a penalty saved and just missed a huge chance at the back post for Celtic.
I understand what Derek McInnes was saying, that you wonder how players are after the winter break, but there's no excuse for what happened to Aberdeen today, I don't think. 1-1 with Stenhouse Muir. I mean, the Aberdeen manager can say he was relieved that it was 1-1 in the end. That tells all. And the same applies to Celtic here. They've come back after a couple of weeks in Dubai. Warm weather training doesn't appear to do an awful lot of good. Their performance, shall I say insipid?
You should. I mean, on another hand, you could say they should be a couple up now, but they're not, and that's the bottom line.
But that's their fault.
Yeah, absolutely. If
I don't think there'll be any panic
just
yet.
Good save from the keeper. Yeah. Let's give Airdrie a bit of credit. Let's hear from Oran Kearney as well.
Probably the first 20-25 minutes of the game, I think everything was going well. We're unlucky not to take the lead through Brad off the crossbar, and they have a couple of half chances, but you know, you're quite happy with how it's going, and then all of a sudden then, just in the space of 15 minutes, it just becomes, you're thinking to yourself, where has this come out of in relation to a goal sending off and going on top of that. So crazy, but listen, that's cup football, and it happens in cup football, and as I said downstairs, credit to our guys for coming through it.
Tom Panish as well from Kyle, that's what he brings to you.
Listen, that's why we got him back, and that was...
Celtic 1, Airdrie 0, and it's Scott Sinclair. He's had a really difficult start to the game. He's missed a penalty, he's missed a sitter, but he's put Celtic in front. Oliver Burke came very close to getting his first goal for Celtic. The keeper made another good stop, and there was Scott Sinclair on hand to ram the ball into the back of the net to make it Celtic 1, Airdrie 0.
I think it was a decent effort from Oliver Burke, because it's a hard one to take across himself, tries to reverse it, good save. And Scott Sinclair, although he missed from there about 2 minutes ago, he certainly wasn't going to miss that one. As I say, I don't think there was any panic, but probably frustration. That's just settled down the frustrated heads sitting in the stands, I'm sure, just
you can
now.
See the frustration coming out in the celebration there from Scott Sinclair, Hugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Scott Brown, I think, giving it to the Airdrie goalkeeper, hot and strong while he's at it as well.
Nice and classy, yes.
So,
interesting you didn't say that about the Airdrie goalie's celebrations from the penalty.
Yeah, he's just got a bit excited.
Celtic have taken 37 minutes to take the lead. It's been a fairly tortuous 37 minutes, but now in front, they should kick on from here. And Timothy Weah, I think, on second half to see what he can do.
To be fair, Hugh, it should be 3-0 minimum at the moment. You know, when you look at the other two chances you passed up. So, you know, in terms of possession, dominating and things, if anything, they're just a little bit kind of slack in the final third, that cutting edge. Yeah. But that will come.
We heard a bit from Oran Kearney there, Hugh Keevans, that the goal interrupted it. But I'm now interested to see what the next couple of weeks brings. They've got really tough fixtures, but you're looking at, can that be a turning point for them?
If we had witnessed Alloa beating St Mirren this afternoon, and St Mirren's next game was at Celtic Park, as it is, on Wednesday night, we would have been standing here talking about the pressure now on Oran Kearney's shoulders. So the phrase I used about Partick Thistle applies to St Mirren. Don't make a drama out of a crisis. They're 2 points off the bottom of the league. So the last thing you need is to go out of the cup and then have to face Celtic at their place midweek. So Oran Kearney has got the job done. It might not have been the way that people like to see it done, but he got it done anyway.
Scott Sinclair gets into the box this time. The ball does come off an Airdrie hand, but certainly not a lot he could have done about that one. It goes out for a corner, which is floated in by Ryan Christie, and it is going to be cleared away by Airdrie. So 39 minutes gone, and it remains
1-0. Oh, good touch, 1-0. The goalkeeper. Scott Bean coming out. Lovely touch.
He's not had a lot to do, so it's 1-0, Hugh Keevans. We're going to have to leave it there for the evening. Sum up what we've witnessed today. It's been a brilliant day of Scottish Cup action so far.
Yeah, it has delivered in a competition that still has a place in our hearts in Scottish football. Down south, it may have diminished severely in importance, but up here, we love our Scottish Cup. And the fairy tale story of the day is Auchinleck Talbot from the Super League Juniors beating Ayr United top of the championship, and now the drama continues with St Mirren and Partick Thistle getting results when the pressure was really on them, and Airdrie now having to try and stem the tide as Celtic a goal up come at them in waves.
It's always been a big day in the Scottish football calendar, and it did not disappoint. The round of fixtures gets completed tomorrow when Hearts take on Livingston. We'll then get the draw for the next round, and we'll crack on with the league business midweek. Thank you, Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson, Alex Ray, and the top team who were all around the grounds. The biggest thanks always goes to you for your company this afternoon, for your calls and tweets, but you might as well just stay where you are, because the GBX is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.